Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. On July 13th, 2018, happy Friday the 13th. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. Joining us today as producer and co-host, president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us, because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
It's Friday the 13th.
Okay, so
it's Friday the 13th.
Thank you for asking, Joe. Doing great despite okay, so I looked it up. Do you guys know where Friday the 13th comes from?
Tell us.
No, what?
First of all, we have, you know, historically associated the number 12, us, Western cultures, with as being a positive, right? 12 days of Christmas, 12 months, zodiac signs, 12 labors of Hercules, 12 gods of Olympus, 12 tribes of Israel. You know, that's just a few of the examples.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So 13, so therefore 13 is kind of a history of bad luck because in fact, there was an ancient code that reportedly admitted a 13th law from its legal rules. Some think it was just a clerical error. So a clerical error, and we've got this whole culture of fear of Friday the 13th. So there is
a clerical. Wait a minute. A clerical error
in ancient times. So the tablet forgot to chisel. He probably went right to 14 or something. Forgot to chisel 13, they're just looking back at that, and they think that is, you know, they think that particular evidence was just a clerical error.
They think that's the reason why there's not a 13th floor anyplace in the country, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It could be a clerical error just because, I mean, a clerical error caused all this consternation. But also, it's considered unlucky according to biblical tradition because 13 guests attended the Last Supper. And, of course, we know what happened there. And, well, maybe Jackie doesn't. But
I know. I went to 12 years of Catholic school. I know.
So it's always been a long-standing Christian superstition that having 13 guests at a table was a bad omen. So many roots in Christian tradition that Friday is not really a great day. They say that's when Adam, it was a Friday. Did they have days of the week back then? When Eve gave Adam the apple?
I don't know about that.
Cain killed his brother on a Friday. Cain killed his brother on a Friday, and of course Jesus was crucified on a Friday, they said. One guy, hey, we should start this. There was a club in the 19th century that was called the 13 Club, And it was started by this guy, and we had three presidents, Chester Arthur, Grover Cleveland, and Benjamin Harris, four, Theodore Roosevelt, joined the 13 Club. And what they would do on the 13th day of the month in room 13 of the Knickerbocker Cottage, wasn't that, that's near where you lived, isn't it, Jackie? Anyway,
yes,
a popular watering hole Fowler owned from 1863 to 1883. But before sitting down for a 13-course dinners, the members would pass beneath the ladder and a banner reading, "Those of us who are about to die salute you."
They live dangerously.
So they just thumb their nose at all those traditions. And then they talk about bad things that have happened on Friday the 13th, going back to when King Philip of France arrested hundreds of the Knights Templar, and Germans bombing Buckingham Palace. Tupac Shakur was on Friday the 13th, or on a Friday, and the crash of the Concordia and all of these things. So anyway, that's where I'm going with the clerical error caused all these issues. All these issues.
Wow.
Agreed.
Now we know.
Now, Mark, we know.
I just want to highlight a great event coming up tomorrow on the 14th, ladies and gentlemen, on the 14th, a good day, a great event, and it's something that my wife and I have been involved with for many years, the Relay for Life of the Beach Cities Festival of Fun. This is a fundraiser for the American Cancer Society. It's something that is being done this year, Manhattan, Hermosa, El Segundo, Redondo are pulling together their Relay for Life teams and are participating in the Festival of Fun. It's going to be a great event. It opens at 10 a.m. The Luminaria ceremony is at 9 p.m. It's going to be at Lincoln Elementary School. There are going to be dunk tanks. There are going to be bounce houses, carnival games. It's a fundraiser. There's an admission fee of $15 a family, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope people will come out, and I just wanted to get it out there. Just go to relayforlife.org/beachcitiesca, and you can find out more information.
What time is the show?
It starts at 10, and 10 a.m. Yeah. Lincoln Elementary School.
Tomorrow's a busy day.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's a lot of stuff. Tomorrow's crazy.
And I wanted to mention again that Kinetka Community Celebration and Chili Cook-Off, Mark, that's going on, right? That's going on tomorrow.
Yep, that's going on tomorrow. And I am one of the chili judges.
Oh.
What? And I do take payola. I will say that.
All right. I like it. And are you taking your tribe over to Manhattan Movie Nights?
Yep.
I think I'm going to bring my niece over, so we'll look for you. We'll hang out with you guys.
Oh, you're going to hang out with us? You're going to bring your niece to hang out with us? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought you wanted to keep them away from the Italians, you know.
honey, you know that I'm belted in Krav Maga, right? You know that.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
So we're okay.
There we go.
All right.
It's so funny. Right. If you saw my Happy Friday Neighbors, you saw the Italians want to meet American girls. The Russian is really interested in, you know, volleyball, but he is just fascinated with American cars. You know, he's just looking at cars, and he's already noticed the different types of license plates. You know, he goes, the ones with gold and black background. You know, I said, yep, those are the vintage California plates. He goes, oh. You know, and so he's just constantly looking at the cars. And then the French guy just wants to shop.
Yeah.
I came home yesterday, and Tammy and him were doing a mask together. So, you know.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Nice.
For the Russian guy, today, Mark, is the classic car show at the Redondo Harbor, you know, right there in front of
That is actually what I had planned to do. I was going to take him over to the auto museum and maybe that classic car show today. And then because I thought he was going to be home today because all the kids are being taken to, I think Universal Studios or Disney, but it was one of those things, you know, on these tours where you have to opt in and I probably pay a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
he said, he was last night, he goes, I think it's Disneyland they're going to, but he goes, Disneyland isn't it for kids, it's just kids. And I said, no. Disneyland. I said, listen, I'll pay for you to go. You should go. And he goes, no. So anyway, I thought we were going to have him the whole day. I thought we were going to have him the whole day, and I was really excited. And then he told me this morning that the school is doing something else for the kids who aren't going on the Disneyland trip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so he's going to be
going. The car show is from 4 to 8, so
yeah.
He might be home.
Yeah, because they'll be back earlier. The Disneyland group won't be back until probably 10. And
yeah.
They've
for,
asked
for
me
of,
to assign anybody I know from a radio group or hosts to pick them up at 10 and bring them to my house.
Mark Lipp's home is full of exchange students from France, Russia, and Italy.
It's the United Nations of 35th Street.
Nice.
The Russian, of course, is out of the soccer contention now. Except for a consolation game. And then, of course, the French are excited about Sunday. And they're already gathering somewhere to watch the game. I think over at one of the counselor's house who is French or something. So, you know, soccer is very important to them.
Who's in it? Croatia and who?
Croatia and France.
Oh, okay, France. Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay.
And Croatia was an upset. Everybody thought it was going to be France and England. And you know, the game on Sunday starts. The consolation game, I think, is at 7, and the playoff, you know, the finals are at 8. So that's why a lot of the bars will all be open by 5 and 6 a.m. On Sunday.
Yeah.
Really,
big,
true.
Big money day.
Many
for,
of them are
bars,
opening up.
Yeah.
If you're any kind of a sports bar, they're opening up early and, you know, got all their soccer specials out there.
All right. Well, if anybody wants to know what else is going on this weekend, there's a ton of stuff, and it's all on my weekend guide, so check it out.
Yep.
Jackie, I have to tell you something I don't know that you know about me. Once upon a time, I was appointed to the South Bay Workforce Investment Board by the city of Hermosa Beach in an official proclamation.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did know that, but maybe Mark didn't.
I didn't know that,
maybe?
And I thought you had to be anointed to the South Bay Workforce Investment Board.
It was the strangest thing. I, you know, had been talking with some friends on the city council, and they said, we have this position opening up. It was actually John Workman, the treasurer, who's now gone. He passed away, but a great guy, and I knew him and really appreciated his friendship. And he was on the investment board, and he was going to be retiring, and they needed to find a replacement. And they thought of me, and that was amazing, and I was so appreciative at the time. I was working at a computer store in Manhattan Beach, actually. And I learned so much about how the world of big business works in terms of layoffs and the rules for announcing layoffs and how the Congress was really trying to get people employed and these things there. We're going to be talking with an expert today about. I'm excited.
Good.
And so changing the locks is not a acceptable method. By the way, you know, all seriousness, our guest today, Chris Cagle, is my new, I mean, I just love what these guys do, and they are. I will tell you, maybe not, but I think they are the best kept secret in the South Bay, and all around
Jackie,
the South Bay.
Who are our guests? Who is our guest today?
Okay, so this morning we have a returning guest. He's a week late, but we have a returning guest, Chris Cagle. Chris is the Regional Affairs Manager for the South Bay Workforce Investment Board, which is an organization that provides no-cost business and employment services to the South Bay area of California. Now, Chris lives in Redondo Beach, where he was previously a two-term city councilman representing the district, the residents of District 2 in Redondo Beach. And this morning we're going to learn about South Bay Workforce Investment Board, the services they offer local businesses, and some interesting initiatives. Welcome back to the program, Chris. I hope you had a great weekend, and we're thrilled you could join us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thanks for all those kind words, too.
The vacation that weekend. I hope you had a great vacation.
Right. Boy, Joe, I forgot you were on the board over here. I guess I'm not going to be able to fake it this morning. I got to act like I know what I'm talking about now.
right.
Great.
Oh, gosh. I had the most fun. I felt I really learned a lot about how, you know, Congress is intimately involved with all of these districts where a workforce investment board exists. It's let's start at the top.
At the beginning.
What
that's
is
a good place to
South
start,
Bay
huh?
Yeah, I think.
So
what is
what
the South
in the beginning, Congress and the president enacted a system for helping people to get jobs. And whenever the president and Congress pass a big jobs bill, all that money goes out to the different states. And then the states filter it down to organizations like this. And then our mission is to take that funding and develop programs that help people get trained and find work, and also to help businesses find workers. Right. And so the whole system is nationwide, and in California we have about 44 different workforce boards that oversee this effort. And in our area, it's the South Bay Workforce Board that manages a territory between Inglewood and all the way down to Lomita and everything in between. And then we do a lot of other things outside our territory for the county and things like that. But basically, we concentrate on the South Bay. And the reason they have different boards that have these certain areas is because each area has its own unique aspects to it. And it's been proven in the past that if you can focus on the needs of a certain community, you have more success at addressing what those needs are. Like in our area in particular, the aerospace industry is really strong, as an example. In other areas, it's down in the Long Beach area, it's the ports. You know, so each area has a focus of labor that is needed and certain training that's needed. And so programs are designed around what is important to those regions. And so one way we do that is we develop, we call them sector partnerships. So in our area, we've identified some broad categories like manufacturing, healthcare, construction, and IT and digital media. And what we do is we bring in companies that are working in those spaces, and we get them around the table and we talk about what their workforce needs are. So what we try to develop programs that are employer driven so that when we put these things together, it's going to address the needs that the employers have so that we can ensure people will get hired after they get trained. And so that's kind of the big picture of how the whole system works.
Now, I think one of the missing elements when I was on the board, and certainly I guess it's not ever going to change really, is that small businesses feel trapped between a rock and a hard place. They need help. They need additional labor, but they always feel either the paperwork is too onerous or just the cost of additional labor is too onerous, even though they need it. And yet, very few small businesses understand that the Workforce Investment Board has programs to help provide labor and actually pay part of the cost, if not 100% of the cost of supporting that labor for that small business on a trial basis. Talk about that, Chris.
Yeah. The bottom line, everything we do for people is at no cost to them because your taxes are paying for it. So it's no cost. And all of these services are available to people. So it's pretty amazing that these resources are out there. And for a small business, it's almost like they get a no-cost human resources department. We kind of take care of that part of the business. One, before I get to your question, one thing that employers that are smaller always talk about is how much time it takes to find the right person to work for them. One fellow gave me an example where he needed two people. He posts a resume, you know, a job description on Craigslist or somewhere. He'll get 50 resumes, and he's got to go through all of that. And then he's got to call in, you know, the top 10. Then he's got to interview each one. Then he's got to, you know, bring back another five for a second interview. And then he's got to pick, you know, the top two. And then after all that effort, one of them quits right away, you know, and he's got to kind of go through it all again. So if he comes to us, we can take care of all of that for him. We can screen the people. We can do recruitments, and we can find the right person that we think is the best fit for them. And then they can just start with just interviewing one person, save a ton of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the program you're talking about is called the Transitional Subsidized Employment Program. And that particular one we manage for the County of Los Angeles. And so in that program, what we do is assist the Department of Social Services with placing people in their labor pool into businesses. And we consider it a partnership with the business to give people opportunities to help them, you know, in strengthen their resume so that they can get some on-the-job training. And so for that, for private business, we'll basically split the cost of the salary that the person is paid. It technically works out the first 4 months, we pay 100% of the salary, and the next 4 months, it's split like we pay 70%. So it works out to about 50-50. And then for a nonprofit, for 8 months, we will pay 100% of the salary. So it's a great way for a nonprofit to get some no-cost assistance in their shop, but it's also
now,
great for the individual business too to get you know some labor that's subsidized.
Right. Now, with some trepidation, I'll bring Mark Lips into the conversation at this point.
Okay.
Mark, were you aware of this program, and how many of your members are taking advantage of it?
I'm not sure. Well, that's why I say it's the best kept secret, because I will mention this program to people and they're not aware. And so I think it really is something that I'd like to, one of the reasons I wanted Chris to do the show, I want to prop Chris up in our social media, or South Bay Workforce, I want to prop them up in our social media. I can also give testimonial. We've done that. Chris and I have done that at City Council. We have to get the word out, and so
right.
I'm wanting to get more of these initiatives sent our way so that we can make some more noise about it, because I think it's a real asset for local businesses. The majority of Manhattan Beach businesses are small businesses whose margins are thin. We have a lot of nonprofits that could use some help, but all these businesses, and I look at it, here's how my experience has been. It's a way to qualify, because how expensive it is to hire, it's unbelievable how expensive it is and time consuming it is to hire someone. So when I can, and then when you hire them, like Chris said, they leave or someone leaves, and so you're not really sure what you're getting, and you never do. It's really kind of you're just hoping that everything that's on paper translates to, you know, good attitudes and exciting and, you know, all of this person to have in the office and all that. I can call, and this is what we did. I called the South Bay Workforce, and I said, this is what I need. This is, it can be part-time, full-time, however we want to do it. This is what I need. And if you have anybody that fits into that category, and it was marketing. Send them my way, preferably a little younger, because I knew that if I got college age kids, that they would have a real sense of Instagram and Facebook and social media and all of that. So I said, is there anybody in college or who has had college who wants to move into marketing, who's maybe going back to college or needs some? I was actually thinking it was just be for the summer, you know. And they sent me over a few candidates, and I took on this one candidate, Carolina, and she knocked it out of the park.
She is great.
She has been awesome. Our members love her. They love talking to her. She is not afraid to speak up. She is has been a great team player. But listen, fully subsidized by South Bay Workforce, I am now able to make that judgment for myself on somebody else's nickel, okay? And she's getting something out of it too, because she's doing, because we're such a small business. The good thing about being with a small business too is if you need someone for a particular area, you're putting them in that area. This is where you need to be a self-starter, and if you can find those people, they will get to do what it is that they're interested in, because we don't have assistants and you know, work your way up to marketing manager type corporate ladder. This is, you're marketing. Start marketing.
Throw them in the deep end. Throw them in the deep end, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and the good thing about this program, too, is there, an employee and their salary, I mean, that's money. Normally you take it out of your pocket and you have to pay that salary yourself.
Right.
So it's like you're getting a grant or a no-cost loan that you don't have to repay. It's worth $10,000 or more dollars, you know.
But it's even insurance, liability insurance, workman's comp, all those things that go with hiring an employee, you know.
Right.
And then if it doesn't work out, how do you get out of that employee? Sometimes the extrication from that, you know, the getting away, you know, making that change is problematic.
And you know what also is good about it, too, is it's great for the startup business, because normally it's really hard for them to get financing, and, you know, they have limited budget. So they can actually take advantage of this program and get help right out of the gate to get themselves going. The only thing they have to have is they have to have a business location. It can't be just running out of their house, but it's okay if it's a startup. You know, if you try to get a loan at a bank as a startup, you're going to have difficulty. But with this, an employee.
And that's what Carolina, she wants to work for a startup. She wants to work for entrepreneurial emerging businesses, startup marketing, with a little business, and you know, because I said, listen, you could have a role here, and you know, she's smart enough to know what she wants, and she's using this to further her experience. She's even said that, you know, I'm learning from this, and I've brought in people who are pros to mentor her a little bit and things like that, and you also find yourself really attaching yourself when there's someone who's really good that comes from this world. You find yourself attaching yourself to them and really wanting good to happen for them. And so it's really it's just the coolest program in the world.
You know, Chris, we have so many nonprofit orgs in the South Bay, so many. And you know, they are, you know, they're the groups that they don't have marketing budgets, you know, they don't have all that extra stuff that gives a little cushion to most businesses. So I gotta imagine that, you know, they must be lining up at your door.
Well, at any given time, we have about 1,000 people on the payroll. It goes up to 2,000 sometimes.
Now, this is federally subsidized, right?
It's an LA County program. So
it's an LA County. Okay, I thought it was bad. Okay.
Well, you know, it probably originates there. You know, the money probably originates there, but for us, it's just LA County. But I believe San Diego County has a program similar. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a component of the funding for all of the workforce investment boards that is a block grant from Congress. That's a block grant from Congress, and then it's supplemented by the county. So the counties and the Congress of the United States work together to fund these workforce programs. And Chris said we have 1,000 people more or less always employed, goes up to 2,000. It's completely unknown. It's mostly larger businesses, and certainly that are aware of this, but small business should really be at the forefront, taking advantage of this, employing these people and giving them that small business experience, and then building up their resumes. We've just got to get that as a built-in part of the chamber sort of operation, Mark.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because the big companies have the human resources departments that know about this stuff.
Correct.
They know about it, but, a little mom-and-pop shop doesn't have that, so they might not be aware of it. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity.
That's why we have to make some noise. And, I think we've got to get that word out, because not only are small businesses, especially in L.A. County and certainly in areas where the rents have skyrocketed, housing costs, everything has just skyrocketed. And so small businesses are having to work as smart as they can. They are having to become the most efficient. There's not a lot of room for mistakes. And fundraising has become so important for these nonprofits that they need all the help they can get. The businesses who support these nonprofits, they're getting pulled in so many different ways. And so it's whoever is the noisiest, whoever is providing the best service. And so that means you need people. And to me, it seems like if we ever needed South Bay workforce, it's now. And it puts people to work, it gets them trained, it gives them skills, and real life skills. I mean, real practical skills. In other words, it wasn't something they're learning in a classroom up on a PowerPoint presentation. They're actually doing it. They're making it happen. They're learning from their mistakes in their business, doing the things that they're doing. They're working with other people who know what they're doing, who can also teach them. So it's job training. It's real job training. And so I think the program is just outstanding.
It works for everybody. It works for everybody. I mean, as you said, the business is getting the help it needs. The new employee is getting experience and feathering their resume, connections. It works on every level. Chris, I wanted to ask you, we know that the economy is booming right now, and the latest numbers, employment numbers, that you've heard it several times, over the last several weeks, that there are more jobs now than people to fill them. How does that affect what you do? Are you having a little rest area now because so many people, there's more jobs than people to fill them, or are you as busy as ever?
We're as busy as ever. Because you know why? It's not just getting people jobs. It's helping people move up the ladder too. Mm-hmm. So a company, for example, may hire an entry-level person, but it doesn't stop there. Now the person needs to be upskilled and trained to do better and move up. And so we help with that also. We've been talking about one program, but we've got 50 different programs we're doing. So,
but that's what I wanted you to talk about, Chris. When I sat in that meeting with you guys, once again, uh-huh. I only knew about the program that I'm involved in, where Carolina and others in the past. And when you guys started explaining some of the other initiatives that are going on, I'm going, holy mackerel. I tell you, I got so excited. I was ready to just go, and I met the other guy. And I said, where do I sign up? I want to be a part of this. This is something that has purpose, real purpose.
Yeah, it's actually kind of fun to do as well, having a good time
right.
with it. But Jackie, yeah. So for example, we have a new program now. We call it Aeroflex, and it's centered around the aerospace industry. And so in one category within this program are people that operate CNC machines. They're machinists, and these machines make parts. And it takes a lot of skill to do it, but they pay pretty good, these jobs. But as you get more experience, you get more pay because you're better at setting up the machine and programming it and making the products flow better, so you get more production out of it. So companies are interested in giving training to these employees so that they can get more production out of the equipment they're operating. And so they come to us to ask for assistance on helping people get this type of training. And so one of the things we're doing to provide that is we're getting a grant called ETP through the state. It's Employment Training Panel grant. And so that grant will focus on manufacturing, and it'll focus on helping incumbent workers upskill their skills on these different machines that they operate. And the goal is to help these people get more income and make the employee more valuable to the company. The other thing we do a lot is like layoff aversion and another program called rapid response. So a company that might be downsizing for whatever reason or leaving the area, we'll go in and help all the employees that may be displaced because of that action. And then we'll also help like when Toyota left,
Toyota,
you know,
right.
But that's a we were there and helping all the employees get new jobs. And then companies also come to us that there's a lot of competition between states. You know, they other states try to get the companies to leave and go elsewhere. And so what we do is, or companies want to move from one area to another. Like one of our best examples is like L3 Communications in Torrance. They had 400 employees, and at the time they were struggling to figure out how to keep that plant open. And so our team goes down there with a whole bunch of other folks, including Edison, the L.A. County Economic Development Corporation, and GoBiz, and the city of that, the economic development director of that city, and us. And we go down, we talk about all the different incentives and things we can do for the company, including like ETP funding and other things. And long story short, we got them to stay. And not only did we save the 400 jobs, they're hiring 200 more. So those people that work there live all over the region, including in Manhattan Beach, you know. So when you're able to do something like that for those big companies, it makes a big difference. So that's another big part of what we do. It's like an economic development piece where we're trying to help businesses grow and expand, and also help them with internal things to help their bottom line so that they can, you know, hire more people and not lay people off. So this Aeroflex thing that we do is centered around pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship. So we're trying to create a career pathway for people to get into the industry, and this allows them to get their foot in the door. So you're right, there's like a really low unemployment right now, but there's a lot of competition to get an engineer, for example.
Right.
So the companies, so there's two sides of it. There's the job seeker, and then there's the businesses. So the businesses are struggling now with getting the people they need to, you know, make their products, and the job seekers are, you know, having a much better time at getting a job, but now we're kind of helping the businesses find those people that they need. So with this program, we're structuring it so we're getting people into it like in their senior year at college for people that want to be engineers, and it'll allow the company to capture them before they've graduated, you know, so they before they're on the open market, they can pick these people up, and then the person graduates with a job and a degree. They're ready to go and hit the ground running right when they graduate. You know, normally it's you graduate and you got to look for a job and You know, there's a lot of downtime there. But this way, they get on-the-job training while they're still in school, and we give employer-specific classes to the students. So the employer not only gets the future employee, but they get them already trained on exactly what they need them to know. And so the employers are loving it. And we just registered the very first aerospace engineering apprenticeship occupation federally with the Department of Labor. First in the nation. It's kind of hard to believe because we're the aerospace capital of the world right here. But there was not an aerospace engineering apprenticeship program registered. So we just did that. So our pre-apprenticeship is feeding into that apprenticeship program now. And then so we're building it up with the schools and trying to get people interested in it. And it's really, really successful. So that's an example of how we're helping businesses find the workers in a market where, you know, it's low unemployment right
it's
now.
It's tough to get quality, you know, the quality experienced people that you want,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Joe... this is what happens when we're having a great conversation. We forget to do our station break. We got to do that real quick.
Let's do that real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. This is the Manhattan Beach Chamber 360 on Fridays at 8 a.m. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Always check in with us Fridays at 8 a.m. because you're going to hear some of the best information about small business and all the things that are happening in the South Bay, certainly with the chamber, the Manhattan Beach Chamber. And today is no exception. This is a fantastic review of the South Bay Workforce Investment Board with our good friend Chris Cagle. And we're learning a lot. And, you know, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, share this show with everybody you know in the coming week. Just email a link to the show, and they can all find out more about the Workforce Investment Board. All right, we're back. So, Chris, this is sort of there's so much to what the Workforce Investment Board does. Tell us how to get in touch with the Workforce Investment Board. Tell us some of the touch points that you're focusing on in your role as the working with the Workforce Investment Board.
So the Workforce Investment Board is actually a real board. There's like 54 people on the board, and they are essentially the policymakers. And here at our office, our administrative office in Hawthorne, we come up with the grants and build the programs. But the public accesses our services through one-stop centers. And there's one in Torrance, Gardena, Carson, and Inglewood. So businesses that are and job seekers that are interested in accessing the services, you just go into a one-stop and they have all the people there to help you. And if you just want to go on the fast track, you just call me. And my number is 310-970-7724. And you can go to our website, which is sbwib.org as well. Everything is on there. And we have a kind of a neat page on there, too. It's called a flyer page that we put together. And if you go to that, it's under the menu services at the last choice on there. And if you go to that, every one of our programs are highlighted in a flyer that you can just download and read about. And whatever you're interested in, you could just call the contact info from that flyer. But that's basically how people start, is working through our one-stop centers. And what I do here is like put together programs and work with the community and work with the chambers and the cities. I mean, structurally, the Workforce Board, our existence is, you know, an enactment of Congress, but we service the South Bay, and there's actually a joint powers agreement between all the cities in the South Bay. So we're officially the workforce center for each of the cities. That's what we do for for the communities. So if there's you know, someone we're working for, it's all the city councils.
So the 54 on the board, the 54, is that the where the brainstorming happens? You guys come up with the programs there? And
so what we do, the staff comes up with all the different things, and then we present it to the board, and then the board talks to us about what their concerns are, and we some have some questions and answers, and we, you know, work with them to keep them informed. And
who's on the board? Is this made up of all the different communities?
It's all the community stakeholders and other other groups that have an interest in. Everybody on the board represents some sort of group.
Who's there from Manhattan Beach?
Joanne Northrup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. No, nobody from city council or.
All the city council members are considered. Joanne's
representing Manhattan Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So all the city council members, though, are considered a part of the team. So any one of them could at any time come over here and just get updated, you know. So it's, and we provide orientations to the new council members annually. Whenever there's an election, we invite them down here, and they get to meet all the staff, and we talk to them about all the different things we're working on.
Right.
And any time a council member has a constituent that needs something, they'll refer it to us, just like they would refer something to their own staff, and then we handle it for them. So we're working with
and
them
also,
closely. Yeah.
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 And also
those people that
are lucky enough to be appointed to the Workforce Investment Board by their city council, like when I was appointed by Hermosa, typically the city council will put on their docket for a particular city council meeting, they'll put a report. They want a report about what is going on with the Workforce Investment Board. And I was given help by staff to put together a presentation, and then I would present that to the Hermosa Beach City Council.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So
after every board meeting, in fact, we're having a board meeting next week. If anyone wants to come, it's open to the public. It's on the 19th at 9 a.m. here at in Hawthorne. And it's a good thing to come to if you just want the big picture overview, because we summarize everything at those meetings.
Yeah, I do.
And
so that's the 19th. 9 a.m. at the Hawthorne office.
Hawthorne office, yeah. 11539 Hawthorne Boulevard, 5th floor. And then after that meeting, we all go around to all the city councils and report on everything discussed at the board meeting. It's usually a summary of what we did in the last quarter.
Now, do you let the chamber, well, or will you let me know when you get agendized? For unless you're just doing it at public comment, but for our city council, because I would love to endorse and get up and speak on your behalf as well.
Okay. Oh, great. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you did that last time. We're so thankful you did that. It's good because, you know, a lot of times they just hear from me, but it's great to have a testimonial every once in a while.
Right.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
I think if the city council knew that they could help their constituents, especially those small business owners that they want to help more, they would lean on the Workforce Investment Board a lot more than they do now.
Well, this is the thing. City Council is spinning a lot of plates, just like all of us are all spinning plates. And they show up and they endorse it and they say, we love what you're doing and all of that. But there needs to be more of action items here, I believe, and probably all of the beach cities. And so my question would be, Chris, what can the chamber do for you? You know, you're a valuable member of this chamber. You're a contributor to this chamber. So we want to give back, and we also believe that, you have such a great business model for small businesses, which is our chamber, that we've got to get the word out. And I've already decided in my next newsletter I want to put some things in the copy about who to contact and what's available, initiatives. But if I could get, if there's any way we can blast this message out, that's what I want,
Yeah.
if I could get maybe even just bullet points or about the programs and who to contact. But mainly, I think the employee programs are going to be the best. But then again, you know, Manhattan Beach, engineers, the whole training program, all of that, that's important too, the rapid response. We don't have that issue really here in Manhattan Beach, but I got to believe they're engineers. I got to believe there are many small businesses that can take advantage. And so I really want to focus on getting that word out. And so if you can, you know, put me in touch with marketing or put me in touch with someone who can send me that information, let's make some noise.
I appreciate that. Definitely. Let's do that. You're already doing a lot, just having me on your show.
Well, no, but yeah, I mean, we got to do more. We really have to do more because, listen, selfishly, this is for our businesses. This is something for our small businesses, and it's a real asset. And it's, you know, it's a tired phrase, but it is a win-win-win.
You know, another thing we do is we help all the different. Many different populations. But we also help a lot with veterans, and we have an office on the Los Angeles Air Force Base as well. So if your businesses are interested in hiring veterans, we can get them on the base.
See,
and they
exactly
can interview. Yeah, they can interview vets face to face. So every month, at least 50 vets transition out of the military, out of the Los Angeles Air Force Base. And most of them want to stay here in the South Bay if they can find work. But if they don't, you know, they go back to wherever they originated, you know, usually somewhere cold, which lately it might sounds kind of good, but, so we have job fairs over there and we invite the employers down and they get to interview the vets, you know, right there on the base. And then we try to match the outgoing airmen with positions. And also the airmen coming into the base, a lot of times they have spouses and they have left a certain area. The spouse has to quit. And so they come here and that, you know, partner has to find work in the area. So there's two different types of job seekers over there, and that's a big labor pool that you know that has a lot of potential for businesses to tap into in an environment where, you know, there's not a lot of unemployment. And the thing is about they have a lot of skills
pool.
Too. Really good point. Very skilled too. So there's a lot to do to transition someone out of a military environment to a civilian environment. So we help with, you know, converting those skills, those military skills, into what would apply in a civilian job.
What
so we offer them different opportunities to go into workplaces and get on the job training too.
What about in probably not not in, you know, not who you really need to service or want to service, but people coming out of school, college, you know, internships or anything along.
Yeah,
those
we have lines. We have interns. We've got we do a ton of stuff. We call young adults is what we say. So it's like 16 to 24 is our young adult program, and it includes interns at the college level. And
I think that's what I have, right?
Yeah.
A young adult.
Right. Right.
She came out of the young adult program.
Yeah. Yes, we have funding for that too, and work with the employers. And so with the employers, back to that Aeroflex idea, like Northrop, for example, they have a really huge internship program. So they're using our Aeroflex as a layer on top of their internship program to give the kids one of the things we do in there is work readiness training. So we give them the work readiness training, and we give them classes specific to the department that they are interested in, like the composite department or the machine shop department or whatever. They're not getting that specific stuff at the college level, and so we call it occupational skills training that we're providing them. So the employers are using our program to enhance their existing internship program. So we work with them to place kids in that.
What's
Chris,
your biggest challenge?
Could you?
Oh, sorry.
Well, I just Number two is going to be, what's your biggest challenge? Number one, though, Chris, is if you could just talk about a paragraph about the limited options in our educational system for vocational training. I know personally that a lot of these companies like Northrop and Grumman and Raytheon are looking for skilled labor that actually knows how to run a machine shop or participate in a machine shop without getting their hands cut off. And we don't do this in high school. We used to have vocational training in high schools that taught kids how to do things like shop and auto mechanics and stuff like that. But we don't have that anymore. And these businesses are suffering terribly because we don't have those skills in our workforce. Talk a little bit about that and then answer Mark's question.
So we call that the skills gap. So part of what we do to identify those things are these sector partnership meetings. So we rely on the employers to tell us where those skills gaps are, and then we work with the schools to develop programs to fill those needs. But it's a slow process because we're always a little behind events. You know, that what's happening today, for us to address that issue takes a year or longer to put together, you know, so we're always a little bit behind. But that's what El Camino College does. They have a whole bunch of different courses that address that, but it does, but it's not everything. But we're working closely with the people at each of these schools that, to develop, they call them career pathways, and based on what the employers tell us is what we focus the training on. And so if there is a skills gap that comes out of these meetings that the employers agree is something really needs to be dealt with, then we communicate that to the schools and we try to get it as part of the curriculum in the in whatever it is they're training. But you're right, it's a slow process to do that.
Well, to Joe's point, and this is something I've harped on for years, is, for instance, we have programs for the high achieving STEM, STEAM, all of those things at our schools, and we have programs for the low achieving. But that middle guy trying to figure out what they want to do, where they want to go, and my oldest son's a perfect example. He was not a college kid. He tried college a few times. He discovered he loved to work with his hands. He was, and so he is, you know, if he'd had any kind of training like that, maybe that would have, you know, in high school or something, that maybe he would have found that passion earlier than what he did. Fortunately, he found it, and he's thriving in it and loves it, and, you know, he's doing what he enjoys.
One of the things we do for kids like that is we set them up with job shadowing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
We have arrangements with all the companies. So, and our pre-apprenticeship program does that as well. So if you have any interest in space and engineering and any of that stuff, you go into our pre-apprenticeship. We get you into a company where you can experiment or get a firsthand view of how that job is, and our job shadow program does the same thing. You get to work alongside somebody in that field, and it gives you an inside look to what it would be like to have a career like that.
Right.
Oh my! So, I love that. I love that job shadowing. That's a fantastic idea. Because, you know, it's so unfair. I've always felt that it was so unfair to ask a 15 or 16 year old, you know, what do you want to do with the rest of your life?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, how could you possibly know, you know? And as I've said repeatedly, you know, a lot of times you grow up thinking, I want to be this, I want to do this, I want to be this, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to it and it's like, oh no, this is not for me, you know?
Right.
And then you turn. Yeah, that's a fantastic, that's a great opportunity. God, everybody should take advantage of that. And just real quick, because we got to go in a minute, Chris, you mentioned, you know, El Camino College it has a lot of vocational stuff, but are there no more vocational schools? I mean, as Joe said, we don't get it in high school anymore, but if you want to become a mechanic, Where do you go?
You know, well, we have this thing called iTrain. It's a directory of all these schools, and you can go on there and I think we have to give you a login code, but you can look at like 500 different classes that cover everything you can imagine.
We do have SCROC, you know, and that.
Yeah, SoCal Rock. We've got a program with them right now called Non-Destructive Testing, and it's a really good one to get into if you want to, you know, make a lot of money.
But it's not only, you know, when we think of vocational, we always think, auto shop and things like that. But SCROC, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be a doctor, you know, if you want to be a fireman, you know, things like that, because they have programs there.
Dental,
all of those things that don't fall into STEM and STEAM. You know, it's more.
That's right.
You know, it's great. And I'm not sure, because it's off campus, and I've known some of my son's friends have done the program, and because it's off campus, it just isn't top of mind. And I think when people think SCROC, they think, oh, that's if I want to be a mechanic, you know, I'll go there. But there's so much more to it than that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we hope the state doesn't cut that funding. We're just, oh. That was a couple of years ago.
Listen, guys. What a fascinating conversation. A lot of great information you've given us, Chris. Joe, we got to wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up. And, Chris, I want you to give Jan Vogel my best wishes.
Okay.
Is he still the executive director?
Yes, he is. He is.
Jan Vogel has been the executive director of the South Bay Workforce Investment Board for, I don't know, 100 years. And that guy has been an amazing administrator. I remember he helped us, my company at the time, All City Computers, serve in Baker, Louisiana in 2005 in August when Katrina hit. The word went out to all workforce investment boards around the country to look for resources. And Jan knew about us and knew about our bus that had satellite internet, and he recommended us to FEMA, and we got a contract with FEMA and went down there. We were down there for 3.5-4 months. We'll never forget that, and we appreciate Jan. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. It could not be more exciting what they do at the Workforce Investment Board, sbwib.org, sbwib.org. You're going to find lots of support for you yourself as someone looking for a job. You're going to find a lot of support for you as a small business. If you need to hire people, if you need to, if you were thinking about, well, you know, some interns, you can actually get people to work that are going to get paid, and part of their salary will be paid by the Workforce Investment Board as a trial. You really have to investigate this for your small business. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Chris, certainly. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jackie.
Happy Friday, Joe.
Happy Friday.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Yeah, thank
All right,
you for
now
having
we
me.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Have a
Thank
great
you.
Weekend. See you guys.
See,
thanks, Chris.
We'll see you all at the Relay for Life, Redondo Beach at Lincoln Elementary tomorrow. Check it out, Relay for Life, American Cancer Society. Bye-bye now.
Bye.